think we're ready to start, because it's 7:01. I think that clock back there is slow. All right, well, we are going to go ahead and get started. 7:01. Thanks, everybody, for coming. All right, the first thing is to approve the October 30th special meeting closed session minutes. And those are laying at your desk. And I mean, they're pretty generic. Does anybody have any questions on it?
No.
And I will move that we approve those minutes from October 30th, 2017.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Greg? Greg?
Yes, aye.
Thank you. Next is the November 28th regular meeting minutes that are part of your packet. Any questions on those?
No.
Any other questions, Greg?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay. There is no objections, and I will move that we approve those minutes as written as well. And those also include the closed session minutes on that same document. So we will approve those of those at the same time. December 4th, special meeting closed session. Any questions on those?
No. No.
Discussion as well, then hearing no objections, we will approve those minutes as well. December 4th. Next is December 14th, special meeting closed session. Any questions on those?
No. Good.
All right, hearing no objections, we will approve those minutes as well. December 14th. All right, the Treasurer's report for the month of November 2017. Yeah. Any questions on that, Bob?
No.
Greg, did you have any discussion on the Treasurer's report?
Yeah, just a moment, please.
On the new logger rates,
yes, sir,
that was included, were those factored into the budget? 18 day?
No, these rates were not. But as if you as you notice at the end, the general rate went up just a tenth of a percent. But the fire under the actuarial for the fire, it actually went down. So I like to claim that as my work, but actually our rate went down a little bit. So. So no, that rate was not in there, but what we budgeted for was greater than the amount shown.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Just a moment, please. Something. So I wanted to ask a question about that. not jumping out at me yet.
Two things to add here when you have a moment.
On the treasurer's report?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and do that one?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Greg, last month you'd asked about building maintenance and that amount that's there that was spent, $58,412. And why that shows off so much for a $17,000 line. The two things that are included in there are the radio tower for Station 3, $14,500, and the roof replacement at Station 1 for $33,000. So that $47,500 was paid out of that line. But how this is set up, Connie would have to go in and add what was transferred in from capital improvements into that and actually increase the line item in the, to make it look right.
To change the budget.
Yeah, she tried it about 20 different ways and then ended up calling Rob, the accountant, and he said, she was doing it as a journal entry, and he's like, well, that'll make it add up right, but it won't ever show up on here correctly unless we go in and change that.
Well, when you say correctly,
well, it's all accounted for.
Yeah,
where it went, it's all accounted for.
Right.
But it does show that line item is way over. Yeah. But that's the reason why.
We basically had to change the 17 budget amount.
Yeah, we'd have to increase that $47,500 to make it right.
And it was the replacement of the roof on Station 1, and the other thing was the
Radio tower at Station 3.
Okay.
And then I included, I had at your spot there, an update to the sales tax sheet. So, and it all prints as one unit, or as one series of documents here that all the graphs are right. So last month we received a note from the state that how they were transferring sales tax, or how they were receiving sales tax for that month, as they changed the program, was going to be a little off. So they originally sent us $60,659.87, and that's what's included in the packet. The new numbers that I gave you are the new printout. Just yesterday they gave us, they sent to us $12,534.67 additionally that would have been December money. So that packet is just an update with that correct amount on there. And at $73,000, that's the most we've ever received in sales tax for a given month.
Okay. Yes. Okay, thanks for that info on the maintenance thing, Dave.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I move we accept the treasurer's report.
Yeah. On a second, that we need to file it for audit.
I move to file it, or whatever you want to call it. So.
Okay. I will second that. We move or file for audit. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next up is the chief's report.
All right. For I see my label there at the top. So for November, we responded to 119 incidents. That doesn't include the recent a couple of recent structure fires that we had. Those were yet in December. So 119 incidents for November. Under training, you'll notice we had 242.75 hours of training. In addition to our regular on-shift training, Captain Traub attended a two-day course on firefighter rescue. It was an instructor course, and he will present that class then to all members in early 2018. Under health and safety, the numbers that were in the budget was preliminary costs for firefighter physicals. We got some updated pricing since then. They're going to be just under $600. So we'll be able to adjust that in the budget as we go forward to get those done. But it's going to come in cheaper than what we originally budgeted for. Station one, it's looking great. I'd say 90% done with the construction of the training area and so forth down there. So cleanup to do and so forth, but that's looking great. Here at station two, we replaced the water heater for the front bathrooms. Justin Hallman did that. 13th, Owen Holmes replaced all of the rubber boots and flashing up on the roof. There were quite a few that were completely cracked away, so surprised we didn't have more of a leak. But definitely when there was the wind-driven rain, that's what caused the issues for us. So that's all been taken care of. Station three, we were just up there today on a little digging expedition. So the last thing they have to do is an electrician's coming back the week after next to run a few more ground wires that were needed for the security system installation. And then the final thing will be actually connecting the server and so forth inside the building to the communications tower outside. So when we get this conduit found that was put in the ground and buried, leading out to it, that's really the only hold up there. So I would expect right at the first of the year everything should be finished with that.
Is this Isotech that's supposed to be doing what you're talking about?
It's a little bit everybody. The general contractor, Perner, is sending the electrician back out to handle that stuff, the ground wires that were supposed to be in. Indigex, our IT company, has, they're basically done other than actually then hooking up the security cameras and so forth. They're waiting on these ground wires. And the line running from inside the station up the tower is actually coming from Indigex. So they're just waiting for this conduit to be found, located at the end of it that they can attach to, and then they make those connections. So,
well, it, in your notes it says Isotech has yet to install their cable.
Yes.
From the tower.
So. Yes. So that's the it runs from inside the utility room there through some underground conduits out to the tower. Well, in the process of the final grading and so forth, and then when they graded after they put the tower in, the flags that were marking the area where the conduit was were removed. So the guys today dug about a 4-foot-long trench trying to find where these conduits are, from the contractor saying, well, they're right in here. So that didn't work very well. They did definitely a valiant effort in trying. But I guess an electrician can snake a wire out in there and then put some pinger to it and be able to pick up where the end of it is.
Once the conduit is located, Isotech can finish with
it. Yeah, they're just waiting on that. Yep. And then they'll hang their stuff on the tower and run that cable into the building, and we should be up and running. On to page four there. I met with Jason Crowley from Indigex, and to address some of the issues identified in the audit as far as storage of files and emails, and just to kind of keep pace with technology, he's going to put together a bid on what really needs to be done with our server to make those things happen. So it's not so much hardware here as going to, instead of a server-based storage system, a cloud-based storage system, mm-hmm. and then that cloud gets backed up to magically some other cloud. I won't pretend to know how it works. But he's putting that project together, or putting that bid together for us, so we get an idea of the project cost. It is something that we'll have to bid. We need to bid their the maintenance program that we have currently, the maintenance package that covers all of our computers. There's nothing in that current contract that addresses Station 3, so we kind of need to just start with something altogether. The cost is going to be over the $10,000 threshold, so we're going to have to put the whole project out to bid anyway. So we're going to do a 4-month extension to what we're currently doing, and then that'll give us time to get bids for the for the program itself. Sand at the fire station was great. We had just over 300 children and almost 300 adults through in the 4 hours. Captain Cobble, all the shifts participated in setting it up and so forth. Captain Cobble was coming to lead on that. And then firefighter families and so forth came in and helped with refreshments and so forth. So it was a great event again this year. Just because I know there's, it's been in the paper and so forth. We did have a structure fire on October 6th, Eastern and 132nd.
December 6th, right?
Yeah, what did
not
I say?
October.
Oh my God, it's October on the brain. It was December 6th, yes. And to go back to a little bit, we talked about overlapping calls last month. And when we get the year-end numbers and so forth, I want to have be able to do a presentation for you folks on that. But in that one house fire, we had two other incidents that happened at the same time, happened while we were on the scene of that. And one was a serious car accident, 92 and DB. If people there had needed extrication, all of our equipment was tied up at the house fire, and Kearney's, they would be the first people we'd call for that area of the district. They were tied up the house fire with us as well. So that would have been, we'd have been waiting on a crew from Edgerton Trimble or from Platte City or even Kansas City if we needed extrication at that spot. So we had that car accident, and then, quickly following after that, we had another medical call, and that one we didn't get on scene to. They canceled us on it, and I believe there was another one that we weren't actually dispatched to that followed that as well. No one as dispatch figured out that we didn't have anybody free to go. So we had at least two documented overlapping calls, and one of the all of our calls are serious to somebody, but one of them was a serious call with it being an auto accident. On December 8th, we had another structure fire in the Hills of Shannon subdivision. It started much the same way, accidental fire on the patio. The probable ignition was people putting out cigarettes in an ashtray that was full of cigarettes already. That melts down, gets fire going, it melts down, catches the deck on fire. Everything's really dry right now. But their location to a staff station made a huge difference. The guys are out the door quick, get there quick, and the fire damage was limited to just the deck and the siding there next to the house where the fire started. And then December 11th, we had another one that was, again, improperly disposed of smoking materials, and this time in a planter out on the front in front of the house. Thankfully, it was on the driveway, so when it burnt down, it just ran all over the driveway. But it was a fully occupied home at the time of the fire as well. So minimal damage with it. There was some smoke stain to the front of the house and so forth, but there wasn't any property damage with it. I think those three incidents highlight several things. Our need for additional staffing, additional locations, better serve our area, the increasing incidents like we talked about of back-to-back calls and overlapping calls, and I think it definitely shows the advantage to staff personnel that are close by to a reported fire. So I'll have some more information for you next month on that when we look at all of 2017 together.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
I think I will not be asking to approve the chief's report anymore because you don't really need to approve that. It's just a written report, and I want to say thank you for your report.
Okay.
And it doesn't really need our approval. So we can move on from there. Public comment. I just have one from Charlie.
Thank you. Charles Waters, 503 Indian Trail Court, Smithville, Missouri, 64089. At the meeting last week, Madam Chair, you had quite a bit of information that you asked at the beginning of the meeting that had just came to light that you wanted to share, and you asked for a vote if you could do that, and things like that. And irregardless of the information, I'd like to know if you could check perhaps with the lawyer or whoever's involved to see if, in as much as you do a chief's report and a treasurer's report, just add a chair report. And if you have information to give on the district, if the fire department, on the fire board itself, that if you just wanted to share information, that doesn't really take, and please check with the lawyer to ascertain that I'm correct. I don't know that you need a vote to spread information that you may just think of on the way in. So I'd like to see that you have your own spot on the agenda. And then also, at the last meeting, the chief gave a report mentioned during his report that car 10, that Callahan had returned recently, and that it went to Phil Wright Automotive for over $1,000 worth of repair.
It was Littleton Ford.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It was Littleton Ford.
It went to Littleton Ford? Okay, thank you. And that I found that a little intriguing. Right about a year ago, one of the members of this board aggressively chastised the firemen because they had some damage. They had some damage, I believe, to the braking, power steering to one of the rigs responding to a call. Normal wear and tear. And the member of that board said that, well, he used to be an 18-wheel over-the-road truck driver, and that you have to take care of your equipment to put food on the table, and this and this and this and this, that he felt, quote, that the firemen, because they did not own that vehicle, they didn't care. This room was packed. Do you guys remember that? Mm-hmm. Members of the audience? I'd like to ask, if I ask a question in public comment that's just opinion of one of the members, has nothing to do with spending money or about money, can that member answer if he so wishes, if he or she so wishes?
I'm not the chair of the meeting.
Madam Chair, so I'd like to ask that if you want to ask the lawyer. I'm going to ask Mr. Atkins, do you remember that incident? And if you do, why didn't you say something at the last meeting? Callahan left his vehicle, according to the report, left his vehicle out in the open for however long, and it cost this fire department over $1,000 at Littleton Ford. But you didn't say anything about that. He obviously doesn't care about that because he doesn't own it. He doesn't pay taxes at all to this district. Why didn't you mention that? And knowing that, if Callahan does come back, is there any possibility we can get our money back for that? That's abuse. That's negligence and abuse. The second question I'd like to know, the audit. Madam Chair, you brought up about the audit. And we've all read in the paper that Callahan was asked 4 times to bring information. Wouldn't do it. And so finally, everybody was subpoenaed. And I don't know if that information was presented or not, but you read the letter from the Missouri State Auditors that the audit was going to cost more than what they had estimated on my audit. That was all due to Callahan not turning his information. So once again, Callahan is costing this district and us taxpayers money. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of the norm. I haven't been up here for a few months. I'd like to know what Mr. Atkins has to say about his beloved chief that he stood by month and month and month for the last 2 years that I've been coming to these boards meetings. What do you have to say about your beloved chief and how much he's costing us?
Charlie.
Mr. Waters.
I feel like that I really don't want to address it because it's just going to upset me, because I feel personally that you've turned these things around and want to use them for attack. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine, Charlie. I think there's lots of reasons and valid reasons that I have voted and said the things that I have said, and which I feel that you have really misconstrued. I don't think we need to waste time on that right now, Charlie. Mr. Waters. So.
I have 3 minutes. We're not wasting it, Mr. Atkins. I'd like to know, you talked about attacked. You, in my opinion, attacked the firemen to protect this city and this district with everything that they have. And you accused them of not caring for their equipment. In retrospect, Callahan has cost this district over $1,000 in repairs for his vehicle that the mice got to when he left it out, and all the time he's been gone. Would you be a yes vote on, if he comes back, on asking him to repay that out of his own funds?
When we get information from Mr. Callahan, and Charlie, I will take the time to correct you. The items that I called out our firefighters on was, one, backing into a door, and two, lifting the cab up without doing some things up front that broke off breather or something. Those were the things that I was talking about. Nothing about, and in my comment, I said there are circumstances that caused some of the repairs that are necessary. And that's the hard driving. And I acknowledge that, Charlie. So if you're defending that the firefighters should be able to walk with, you know, backing into the doors and not paying attention when they're trying to do their service, that's your privilege. So again, I don't think we need to waste any more time on this.
Okay, would you care to respond on the amount of money that Callahan has cost the fire district on failure to respond?
At the proper time, I will.
You are the treasurer. You are responsible for that, according to what I've been reading. Since my name is now in the ring, I've been educating myself even more than what I have, and I know the treasurer's responsibility. You had an immense amount of responsibility for him turning in that paperwork and knowing where it was, even though he was the custodian of records. You have a responsibility.
Thank you, Mr. Waters.
Okay, is my 3 minutes up, Madam Chair?
I believe it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
I kind of lost track of time with the after responses. All right, thank you.
Well, I spoke with him this afternoon and said, hey, you going to be here? And he said, yes. So it is firefighter Justin Hallman's 5-year anniversary of the organization. He works on Friday. I would, I can get with him then, make a presentation on his shift, if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me. Well, we can do it in January, whichever. You want to do it publicly.
We can take care of it on shift if we want to move on to other things.
Okay.
That work for you? Okay.
And we'll get one of the little plaques engraved out there for him as well. All right. So we'll move on to new business, the first of which is to consider the accident and sickness insurance bid. And that was part of our packet. Do you want to talk about that? I know a little bit about it.
Sure, I can. So last month, it was one of the, when we spoke about, or when Ken Bill spoke about insurance on behalf of VFIS, he also submitted a bid for accident and sickness coverage as well. So to renew the current plan that we have through Provident Insurance, you'll see is the annual cost of $3,178. The VFIS bid was $6,679. I compared the two side by side. I actually called Mr. Phillips and, I wanted to make sure that, everything was the same. And Ken Phillips himself even said, he's like, yeah, that's right down the line. They're comparable. He says, I can't come close to that price. He said that Provident, he goes, that's a good program. He said he sold that line of insurance in the past. So he said, yeah, their bid's just much better.
And that's what we have now.
Provident, yes.
Okay, is that something that the district is paying for?
Yes.
Okay, so what line item is that showing up in the budget?
That is included in...
The second bid of the highway.
Dwayne. Mr. Garmison? You're kind of loud.
Sorry.
Now, we've got accidental death, and we've got short-term disability, but...
That is, she has that under, and I think it's broke down between the, the short-term disability, Yeah, it is the short-term disability benefit.
That whole provident premium, and we pay that annually?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So it's just going to go up about $150 this year then?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? I will move that we renew the current accident sickness policy with Provident Insurance.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next up is the, to consider the SOG regarding the permit fees for open burning.
So, I'm sorry. So to address a couple of things that came up in the state performance audit, as it comes to handling cash especially, and more so, they want every dollar, if somebody comes in and pays $25, it goes to the bank that day. Well, with burn permits, there might be two on Monday and one on Tuesday, and go a couple of days, and Connie would typically wait until Thursday and deposit everything. They didn't like that. Open burning permits are the only thing that typically gets paid in cash. In the past, one and sometimes two of our retail fireworks vendors have wanted to pay in cash, but everyone else that buys construction permits, building permits, alarm system permits for new construction and so forth, they're all by check. So eliminating the fee charged for open burning permits gets us away from the cash situation altogether. If we receive everything by check from, you know, from our other contractors, then we can generate a receipt through QuickBooks and everything just, you know, is more accountable that way. For this year, you know, as of last week, we've issued 64 burn permits. There's a few in there that there's no cost for school district, churches, that kind of thing. For a fee of $25, we're looking at like $1,600 impact. I don't feel that'll affect the budget much. I think it would streamline the process for us a lot in handling burn permits and not charging for them. Kearney does not charge for them. Central Platte, Platte City doesn't charge for them. I don't know of any department around us that does. So I would suggest that we eliminate that fee for next year. And then when we adopt the next version of the International Fire Code, then we can just update it in the code, you know, in our fee schedule and just take out the part about overburning.
Okay, what was the last comment?
Will the 2018 fire code will come out here shortly. Most places will adopt it 2019. So when we adopt the 2019, we'll have a new pace. We'll have a new fee schedule, and we'll just delete the charge for open burning there. This just gets us through until we adopt a new version of the code.
Yeah, they wanted us to print receipts, and it was quite a laborious endeavor to meet for that type of a minimum transaction when they brought that up. So we looked at it and thought, okay, for that period of time, it would be streamlined and reduce liability and so forth. So, yes, I think it's a good idea.
They didn't like that our receipts are handwritten now. You know, legal pad, or on a pad up receipts you can buy anywhere else. So this will just wanted to get you all that.
So they still have to come up here and get a permit?
They still have to come and get a permit, yeah. The permit process is all the same, except there's no charge for it.
Any other discussion or questions on that?
Is that something we need to have in the minutes?
I think so. I will move that we accept the new standard operating guideline for permit fee for open burner.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thanks for getting that written. Good to be checking off some of those things from the audit before we get the final report. Next up is to discuss the preventive maintenance program.
So you want to talk about that, or?
That was another, we'll team up on it. That was another one of their thoughts and concerns that they cited, that we needed to have maintenance records in a certain fashion or format. We looked at there's paper and there's better technology to do it, and then there's cross referencing by going through the server, which is brings up another issue, of course. But we wanted to bring this up tonight because it's something we will write and look into to find out if there's equipment, what it costs, and software and so forth to have it to be where it's automated and possibly entered on a tablet, and all the records are kept in one place, make it easier, streamline.
Okay.
Be able to cross-reference. So, what?
Yeah, it. There's several different services out there, vendors that provide software programs like this. I included one in your packet, just with some general idea on pricing and so forth. It seems to be one that would work. Again, it's something that we'd have to take bids on, and write some parameters on what we want the system to be able to do. But it would get us away from paper copies is a big one, things that are time stamped and so forth, just a better database. And then all of them have bells and whistles that send you emails that hey, this needs fixed, or alerts and so forth on issues with equipment. And it also ties in with inventory, which is another mm-hmm. policy, that inventory tracking that we'll be crafting as well.
And all these costs are just annually?
Yep.
Oh, that's a pretty low cost.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah. Okay, so this is something that we're just discussing right now. And
we want to make you aware that it's something that will come up, that we'll be looking at some bidding and have to come back and ask for bids, see if it's okay to go out for bid on, and RFQ, RFP, those kind of things. So we thought might we kind of let you know that that's where we're moving along on that.
Awesome. All right. Well, we kind of flew through that. That's the end of the public part. We'll give notice now that we are going into... Yes, sir?
I'd like to interject just a moment. I may be out of order, but I suppose I'll be told. We have a closed session meeting scheduled for next week, do we not?
Yes.
What's the date on that again?
December 29th at 9 a.m.
The 29th, okay. I would like to respectfully request to the board to reschedule that till after the first of the year. And one, because the subject material pertains to a lot of what happened in 2015 and early 2016, and I was part of that. And I feel like next week I've got family in town that hasn't been in town for 5 years, and I want to spend that time with them. And I would really think that maybe everybody else involved here would like a week off too. So for the sake of the public and our sales, I'd like to be there so that Everyone's feet can be held to the fire, including mine. So I would ask reconsideration and rescheduling of that 29th meeting, if at all possible.
Can I ask what your thoughts are on that? When we talked about it in a meeting where we were all three in that meeting and talked about that date, and I feel like that should have been brought up at that time.
I think I did.
I guess, did you have a specific question for me, or?
I don't know. I guess I wanted to ask what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, the, you know, board can...
Because we've already sent out the letter to note.
If the board wanted to reschedule the meeting, there would be time to have an amended notice if necessary. But the board's decision as it was last week.
Right. Something I really wanted to take care of before the end of the year.
For the sake of the district, and, you know, 5, 6, 7 days, I don't think it's going to make
a big... What do you mean by for the sake of the district?
Well, just so that I can be there, so that I think would be good, so I can hear what's going on and rebut if that needs to be done, because you guys weren't there.
I mean, you told us that your company's here for 2 weeks. I don't really think a couple hours out of the day is a huge thing to ask. I mean, we all have to sacrifice things.
Well, they haven't been here for about 5 years.
I'm concerned about rolling over timelines into fiscal years and months, and that I'd like to close this part of the business if we could.
Okay.
It's unfortunate. I'm respectful of your company coming and so forth, but I think we need to. We sent out the letter. We've done our diligence on this, and so I think it's important that we stay on the 29th.
I agree.
I did my part. Thank you.
All right. Now I will move that we go into closed session as authorized by the State of Missouri Sunshine Law 610-21 for legal and personnel.
Second.
Roll call vote, Bob?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. Thanks everybody for coming. The next meeting is not January 3rd, as it says on the agenda. It is the 23rd.
That's my question.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks everybody for coming.